Hello, my name is Adrian Goldberg, and thank you for downloading this week's Five Live Investigates podcast. Today, too much, too young. Children consuming energy drinks in vast quantities, even though they aren't supposed to be marketed to kids under 16. We'll hear from young people themselves about why the drinks are so attractive, and from the teaching union, which wants their sale banned in all schools.
First for news and the best live sport, this is BBC Five Live. Five Live Investigates.
Welcome along, my name's Adrian Goldberg. This is Five Live Investigates, and today we'll hear calls from a teaching union for a ban on energy drinks in all schools, and from the MP Norman Lamb. He's chair of the Science and Technology Select Committee. He wants Parliament to look at the effect high levels of caffeine from energy drinks are having on UK teens. We're talking about names like Monster, Reckless, Rockstar and Red Bull, as well as numerous own brands which young people find attractive because they promise to keep you full of fizz. The cans do say not recommended for children, and manufacturers insist they don't target under 16s. But more than two out of three secondary school children are regularly drinking them, pushing their caffeine intake to levels considered unsafe. Now, this morning, we'll hear from the young people who buy them, the schools who have banned them, and the father who believes energy drinks contributed to his son's death. And as always, we want your comments and stories as well. You can text us on 85058. On Twitter, we're at BBC5Live, or you can email goldberg@bbc.co.uk. Let's start today with Victoria Steen, who became addicted to energy drinks at the age of 16 with drastic consequences. Morning, Victoria. How are you?
Hi, Adrian. Thanks for having me.
Just tell us what happened to you.
Well, I started drinking energy drinks quite early on, and I was drinking them because my friends were. And then when I wasn't having them, I was getting serious headaches. So I kept on drinking them because I was under the impression that they were going to keep my energy levels up. When really they were just having an opposite effect. So I was getting headaches and I was feeling more drained and more tired. And yeah, it just went from there, really. I was drinking about 10 cans a day.
Wow. And it's ironic that you say that you were feeling tired. They're meant to give you an energy boost?
Yeah, because I was going to say, looking at the cans, you've got, it's supposed to give you energy and it's full of multivitamins. And you just associate that with something that's supposed to be good for you, when really it was just having an opposite effect.
And you mentioned the headaches as well. Caffeine withdrawal, you think?
Yeah, I started getting shaky as well, irritable if I didn't have them. So obviously it's just a knock-on effect. You constantly drink them.
And you were just 16 at the time. You say initially then it was what? Just to appear cool amongst your mates. It was what they were drinking and you didn't want to be left out.
Well, I was going to say everyone was drinking them. It's just, one of those things, and I just sort of take it to another extreme.
And we've talked about the consequences of the caffeine on your health. What did the sugar in these drinks do? Because a nutritionist showed me a can this week, a well-known brand of energy drink, which has the equivalent of 20 lumps of sugar in it. How did the sugar affect you?
Well, I was already type 1 diabetic and I was drinking these. And obviously, if you're diabetic, you need to have a good control over your sugar levels. And this was obviously just pumping me full of sugar. So obviously that was affecting my health, my eyesight. I started losing my eyesight. I got early signs of retinopathy. And obviously drinking more and more of these drinks full of sugar was obviously just getting, it was just making it get worse. My doctor said to me that if I kept going the way I was, I'd eventually go blind.
Wow. And how did you beat your addiction?
I actually saw a picture of myself someone had taken on holiday, and I didn't realise how much weight I'd gained. And I realised, I started looking at the things I was eating and drinking, and obviously energy drinks being one of the main things. And I looked at how much sugar was in them, and obviously that would sort of make you gain weight. And from there, I decided that I needed to try and wean myself off. But it was a long journey. I needed to, I was still having a couple of energy drinks a day before I could sort of go cold turkey and get off them completely.
And how old are you now?
26.
So no energy drinks. How are you without that extra sugar and without that extra caffeine?
Absolutely fine. I was going to say, occasionally I'll have a sugar-free energy drink, but never, I would never go back to drinking, the full fat ones, because you just don't know how much sugar's in them.
Victoria, thanks for sharing that this morning. Appreciate it. Victoria Steen. Now, listening to that was dietitian Dr. Amelia Lake from Teesside University. Amelia is one of the academics behind the latest research into energy drinks and their impact on young people. And she is from Fuse, which is a collaboration of universities in the northeast of England. Amelia, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So just explore a little bit for us then, what's in these drinks and the harm they can do. Obviously, sugar, caffeine we've mentioned. In what quantities and to what effect?
So the quantities of them tend to be more than 105 milligrams, which or a single can contains more than 160 milligrams of caffeine.
Whereas what does that mean? To us?
Well, we know that an 11-year-old shouldn't have, say, no more than 105 milligrams. So we also know that this combination of sugar and caffeine, as well as the other chemicals that are put into these drinks, some of which we don't really know the effects of them on children as young as 10 or 11 or even teenagers. So they're basically a cocktail of caffeine, sugar and other chemicals. And as you mentioned, they're freely available. They're also very cheap. Some of them can be as little as 35p a can. So they're very easily accessible. They taste good to these young people. Young people are driven by taste and also they're driven by the cost. So these are cheap and they taste good. And I guess they get a bit of a buzz after they drink them.
And in terms of the health impact, let's focus, say, on the caffeine. What can it mean then? You've talked about the quantities. What does that mean in practical terms for the health or behaviour of a young person?
So as your guest before mentioned, things like headaches, palpitations, insomnia, and then you enter into a bit of a vicious cycle because they can't sleep because they've had so much caffeine, then they are tired the next day, so they have another energy drink. So it centres around those, but it's also the fact that these drinks are associated with other unhelpful behaviours. So, for example, they tend to cluster around alcohol, smoking, drug use. So it's not just the drinks themselves, it's the other behaviours that they tend to cluster around.
So what does that mean, that young people who drink energy drinks are more easily drawn towards alcohol and cigarettes?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I know you spoke to a lot of school-aged children, children between 10 and 14.
That's
which
correct.
The manufacturers insist is not part of their target audience. What did they tell you about energy drinks?
Well, they clearly are not only they're not only drinking them, they're very aware of them. They find them very easy to access. We have a lovely quote where one of the children said that, well, it's only furniture shops and pet shops where you can't buy them. So we know that they can get them everywhere. We know that they find them palatable. We know that they are cheap. And they're also very savvy. They know that these drinks are being targeted to them. So we had children talking about games. So online gaming, that's clearly marketed to older children, but these younger children are playing. And the drinks are associated with these games. So you get codes off the can, which then boosts the energy in your character in the game. So it's very tied into what these young children are doing. And also...
Although these games are primarily... officially aimed at over 18-year-olds, you're saying that there's no way, if you're online, that there's any restriction on people under 18 getting access to them.
No. So, they were talking about games that are for age groups older than them, but they're clearly accessing them. And also these younger kids want to be cool like the bigger kids. And these drinks are marketed through extreme sports, through sports. There seems to be a lot of confusion around energy drinks and sports drinks. We did an exercise where they sorted through empty cans and bottles, and it was very clear that there was a bit of confusion around which is an energy drink and which is an isotonic drink.
Well, maybe you just stay there. Let's have a listen to a group of youngsters I spoke to this week at Calderson School in Liverpool. This school last year, I should say, took the step of banning energy drinks. But I spoke to some of the youngsters, some of whom still drink them, to get a feel for what turns them on to these drinks. And I started with a little experiment.
So what I'm going to do now is get some energy drinks out of my bag. And I'm not going to show you the name. I just want to see if you recognise the energy drink. just by the colours and the branding on the label. So as soon as you see it, tell me what you think this brand of energy drink is.
Red Bull.
Right, I've got another one out of the bag now. What's that one?
Rockstar.
A lot of you knew that. Let's have a look at this one. I reckon you'll get this one. What's that one?
Monster.
What's that one?
Boost.
Boost, it is Boost. And what about this one?
Relentless.
Okay, so there are 13 of you. Put your hands up. How many of you have drunk any of these or any other similar energy drinks? Hands up. So 10 out of 13. What drinks have you drunk?
Boost. You know, like sometimes if I'm quite, you know, tired or something, I don't really feel like I want to go to bed or something, so I just drink it to give my energy back up.
So you sometimes drink them?
Yeah, because, like, when you're in the shop, the wrapper on it just makes you kind of want to have it. It looks refreshing and, like, colourful, and it just catches your eye.
Do your friends who maybe don't come to this school, do your friends think they're cool?
I think, like, they definitely think if they've got, like, a can of Monster or something, they kind of think, oh, look at me, I'm drinking Monster, compared to if they were drinking, say, like, water or something. So I think they definitely have a sense of coolness, as you put it, if you like. So I don't see the point, to be honest, because what's the point in drinking it for leisure when it's just, when there's probably nicer tasting drinks than that, that are so much, like, less sugar in them.
I don't mind them. They taste like they're fruity most of the time, and they taste quite nice, yeah.
Which ones do you drink?
Maybe like a Rockstar, like every now and again, but not too often.
In terms of the lift, the boost that you were looking for when you drank it, did it give you that?
I felt like it, but I don't know if that was just me thinking that I had a boost or it was actually the caffeine inside it.
You see Formula One racing drivers putting their name to it as well. Yeah. Does that make them more attractive?
Say if a celebrity or something, like, you know, advertises like an energy drink, people might think, you know, they're cool because they're drinking it. So they're like, okay, I'll copy them.
I don't think it's just celebrities who influence it. I think it's, like, mostly your friends. Because if one of your friends is cool, you kind of want to fit in with them. So if one's got, like, a Monster can, I think your friends would also follow there and get a Monster can as well, just to try and fit in with the group.
Especially if your friends are asking you, like, what energy drinks you've tried and you said, like, haven't tried any. And they, like, it's kind of, like, pressuring you into, like, trying it, even if you're not too sure about trying it.
So pupils there at Calderston School in Liverpool. And Amelia, incredible brand recognition amongst those young people. But also that sense, and this came out, I think, in the research you'd done about how people wanted to drink these drinks at that age because it made them look sophisticated.
Sophisticated and hard and attractive. And already, you know, I suppose it was a bit of an eye-opener just seeing it, how early that behaviours were starting and how, whilst on one hand they were quite savvy to the advertising and marketing, on the other hand they were really susceptible to it and really, really, yeah, it was really very important to them how they were perceived by their peers.
Amelia, thank you. Dr. Amelia Lake there from Teesside University. It's 11:19.
Across the UK, this is BBC Five Live. Five Live Investigates.
Yeah, on Five Live Investigates this morning, welcome along if you've just joined us. We're talking about school children consuming dangerously high levels of caffeine and sugar through energy drinks. Now, our reporter Laura Harms has been looking at this for us. And Laura, there has been quite a lot of research in this area over the last few years.
There has, that's right, Adrian. There have been plenty of studies pointing towards a range of health problems linked to energy drink consumption. And the early concerns centred around the sugar content and worries about obesity. But there have also been concerns about the high caffeine content, causing sleep problems as well as an increased heart rate, palpitations, high blood pressure and even convulsions. And more recently, some studies have even linked energy drinks with mental health problems. One report published in the US has suggested a link between energy drinks and substance abuse, saying those who use energy drinks are looking for a high and are more susceptible to illegal drugs and alcohol misuse too. I even saw one report saying that some children used cannabis to come down from the highs that energy drinks gave them.
And there's been research more recently from the European Food Standards Agency.
Yes, and their figures suggest that even kids who don't regularly consume these drinks are already taking in enough caffeine from other sources to potentially affect their sleep. For those that do drink them once a week or more, and a major study has found that that's two-thirds of 10 to 18-year-olds in the UK, the extra caffeine they're consuming is taking them beyond the level considered safe by the Food Standards Agency.
And we have a particular problem here in the UK compared to other European countries. Yeah,
we know that young people here are among the highest consumers of energy drinks in the whole of Europe. Overall, UK sales figures nearly trebled in the decade to 2015, when nearly 700 million litres were drunk here. I've also been looking at a really interesting study done for the Scottish Government, which found that when 13 to 15-year-olds go out of their school at lunchtime, one in four are buying an energy drink.
Yeah, so what's been done then to try and restrict the consumption by children?
Well, there's no shortage of people saying that sales to children should be restricted or even banned, but at the moment it is entirely legal for shops to sell them to under-16s and for under-16s to go into a shop and buy them. Some schools, though, as we've been hearing, have been taking the initiative by banning energy drinks from their premises completely.
Yeah, and one of those, as we said, is Calderston School in Liverpool. We heard from some of their students earlier. Lee Ratcliffe is the head teacher.
We banned them a couple of years ago, but we've been a little more, I guess, ruthless about it in more recent months on the basis that all of the research and the evidence suggests that it's not healthy. It's not providing them with the kind of energy that some students believe that they are getting. Many of the children are given the impression that they have choices and that they should be given choices and they should have the right to make those choices. But for me, this is about making sure that they're making the right choices. And the analogy that I always use with the students is we would never give them a playground to go and play in that was dangerous. We would never say, here is a choice between a playground that contains glass and razor blades and syringes and dangerous people, and there is a safe playground. You make the choice as to where you go and play. We would take the bad choice away from them and we would leave them with the good choice. And I think in this case, energy drinks, high sugar drinks, are a bad choice, and we need to be educating them about that.
How did energy drinks affect behaviour in the classroom and in the playground?
Certainly during the course of the day, you would quite often see a deterioration in behaviour and greater levels of energy in the afternoon. And energy isn't necessarily a bad thing, but quite often it was uncontrolled. We felt that students' diet and students' intake of sugar in particular was a contributory factor to that.
And since you've taken energy drinks away from young people, or taken the sugary drinks away, has behaviour noticeably improved?
We think so. We think with those students who were probably the main offenders, who would rock up at 9 o'clock in the morning with a couple of cans of Monster and they'll have drunk them all by lunchtime, it was clear that it was having a direct impact in our mind on those students' behaviours, and taking that away has had a positive impact. And in some cases, students have more going on than there's just the energy drinks. When you look at students who perhaps have ADHD, for instance, and then on top of that, we're adding the complexity of introducing those kind of chemicals, it's something that they could do without.
There we go. That's Lee Ratcliffe, the head of Calderston School in Liverpool, where the consumption of energy drinks has been banned. Let's talk now to Darren Northcott. He's the National Official for Education for the Teaching Union, the NASUWT. Morning to you, Darren.
Good morning, Adrian.
So just tell me about the kind of problems your members are facing in school then that they attribute to energy drinks.
Well, we've been speaking to our members up and down the country about their pupils' consumption of these high caffeine, high sugar energy drinks. An increasing number are telling us that those drinks are having a profound contributory effect on their behaviour and on their learning in the classroom. So it's a significant issue.
So what kind of problems are they reporting then?
Well, I think you've heard from some of your earlier contributors about some of the impacts that that these drinks can have. I mean, there's a positive correlation between highly caffeinated drinks and pupils' behaviour, and that can have an impact on their attention span. As we've heard, it can make pupils fatigued because they're not getting enough sleep. It can impact upon their ability to focus on their learning in the classroom. And therefore, it's something that teachers rightly identify as a significant cause for concern.
What would you like to see done then?
Well, there's a few things I think that we could do relatively straightforwardly in order to address the issue? I think the first thing, and I think anyone listening to your programme this morning would wonder why there are schools out there that continue to sell these drinks. I have to say that's probably going to be a very small proportion of schools, but an easy step would be to include caffeinated drinks in the school food standards and make sure that those standards apply to every school. So there's no school in our country selling these drinks to children and young people. There are other things we need to do as well. I think there's a real issue about awareness of these drinks. I have to say that I wasn't aware of how much caffeine they contained until I started looking into this issue. I just thought they were soft drinks, like some of the soft drinks you or I may have had when we were younger. I mean, the levels of caffeine in them are alarming. And I wonder if parents really understand the impact of the extent of consumption of these drinks by their children, the impact that that is going to have on their behaviour and on their ability to get a good night's sleep.
And Darren, you talked about then a ban on the sale of energy drinks in all UK schools. Do you think schools should follow the example of Calderstone's in Liverpool and the consumption of energy drinks should also be banned from all UK schools?
I think that school's an interesting case study. I mean, clearly it's not going to be selling energy drinks, but it's told its pupils not to bring those drinks onto the premises. I think there's a strong case for doing that simply because the impact is so significant on pupils' behaviour. So I think those things have to be looked at. I think it's very welcome that the Common Science and Technology Committee has said that they want to look at this issue as well and look at what other steps can be taken. But clearly, I think two things we can do very straightforwardly are to make sure that the school food standards make an explicit reference to caffeinated drinks, and we need to do much more to raise adults' awareness of the impact of these drinks, because many children seem further ahead of the curve than their parents.
Darren, thanks for your time this morning. Darren Northcott from the NASUWT Union. Lots of comments coming in, and one particularly relevant to this issue of children at school, saying, as a coach driver regularly involved in school bus work, I see the effects of energy drinks every morning and afternoon. The kids get on the bus clearly in a high state, almost literally bouncing off the walls, often at 7 a.m. The empty cans left in the bus bear witness to the considerable amount of these drinks being consumed by teenagers. Jim in Colchester says, it isn't just kids. I got addicted while I was in Iraq in 2003. I was drinking about 12 to 15 cans every day. I was 34. They are highly addictive. But another listener saying, have some personal responsibility, people. Too much of anything is a bad thing. All the info you need is on the packaging used. Your eyes. Keep those comments coming. You can text us on 850 58 or at BBC5Live. Now, there have been cases where energy drinks have been associated with what's called sudden death syndrome, generally where people have had hidden heart defects, although it is difficult to say precisely what part energy drinks may or may not have played in any particular case. We've also spoken to Kieran Bartholomew. He's the father of Justin Bartholomew, who took his own life early this year at the age of just 25. Justin became depressed after the breakup of his marriage, but Kieran, who employed his son as part of the family's scaffolding firm, believes that energy drinks played a part in exacerbating his son's mental condition.
I just noticed the high level of energy drinks that he was drinking, not necessarily expensive ones, but the cheaper brand ones. He would come in to work with a bag with maybe a couple of sandwiches in and maybe 6 or 8 cans of energy drink. And then maybe if he drunk them during the day, he'd toddle off to the shop and purchase more.
How many a day?
Up to 15 cans.
15 cans a day?
Absolutely, 15 cans. And I did say to him, obviously the amount of energy drinks he was drinking obviously wasn't going to do him any good, and the amount of caffeine he was putting into his body, and but he just said, you know, I like them and I like drinking them.
What kind of effect did they have on him?
He was a good worker. He would work anytime you wanted him to work. But he became tired towards the end of the day. He was running out of steam, although he would run all day scaffolding. He was a strong lad, but his out of work, his mental state just wasn't, or his mind just wasn't in the right place. He'd sort of drifted off into dream world, I suppose, and he would go deep into thought. And we had our concerns then that things were going wrong. I used to try and encourage him not to drink energy drinks. You know, I'd say, you know, go and get go and get a fruit juice or something. And but he did, in the build up to his death, he did start to ease off. For maybe a week he eased off the drinks, but he held his hands up and admitted that he couldn't stop drinking them, period.
Sadly, he took his own life.
He did.
What role do you believe energy drinks played in his death?
I believe they enhanced his depression.
It's very difficult, isn't it? And forgive me for going over these details, Kieran. Obviously, he had a lot going on in his life. He had a breakup in his relationship, wasn't able to see his stepson as regularly as he liked. And he also had a great fondness for energy drinks.
Yes.
It's hard, isn't it, to disentangle any one factor that might on its own lead him to take his own life from that.
Well, like I say, it was a build-up of everything. I think everything just got too much for him. He couldn't cope with the breakup of the marriage. He couldn't cope with the lack of not seeing his stepson. So all the depression factors were building up in his mind.
But you believe that his consumption of energy drinks exacerbated that depression, made it worse?
Absolutely. It enhanced it. Over the time that he was drinking them and up until the point of his demise, obviously his head must have been spinning, with the caffeine input.
That's Kieran Bartholomew on the sad death of his son, Justin. And as we said, very difficult to unpick the factors behind Justin's death. But as we've heard from our reporter, Laura, recent studies have raised concerns about the link between energy drinks and poor mental health.
This is BBC Five Live, available on the BBC iPlayer radio app. Five Live Investigates.
Hello, welcome along. If you've just joined us, I'm Adrian Goldberg. This is Five Live Investigates, where we've heard calls this morning by the NASUWT Teaching Union for a complete ban on the sale of energy drinks in UK schools. And researchers have told us that although the drinks are meant to be drunk by over 16s only, two-thirds of youngsters have at least one can a week, raising concerns about their consumption of sugar and caffeine. Lots of reaction coming in on this. Andy in Huddersfield says, energy drinks are terrible for the heart. I had a dreadful experience drinking far too many about 6 years ago. Heart pumping like a cart horse pulling a tractor. Wouldn't have those things in the house now, he says. Miss Fudge says, both schools I've worked in don't sell them and ban pupils from bringing them in. Shops need to be banned from selling them to kids under 16. Stan said, I'm 72 and I drink these things regularly. Please differentiate between addiction and habituation. And Miss Wood says, the idea, this is in, from Homfirth in West Yorkshire, a ban in schools is great, but most of our students buy them on the way to school in the morning, then drink them before they arrive. I think some of them become sugar stroke caffeine addicts. Even with education, it is difficult to change their habits. Lots of interesting comments. Do keep them coming. Text us on 85058. You can email goldberg@bbc.co.uk or on Twitter, we're at BBC5Live. Now, earlier we heard from Dr. Amelia Lake, one of the academics behind the latest research into energy drinks and the impact they have on young people. Teenage boys told the researchers they use energy drinks to look hard, while girls said they chose certain brands to appear sophisticated. Leading energy drinks brands spend millions linking their products with top music stars, as well as high adrenaline extreme sports that are often attractive to young people. Just have a listen to this.
From the start line to the checkered flag, it was memorable. Very happy to be part of the Monster Energy 50th Baja 1000.
Go for entry. Yes! Yes! Oh my God, how old are you?
Hello everybody, it's Wagner. Join me on Boost Drinks for a very special festive Christmas karaoke. live on Facebook.
Miku Izzy, I ride for Star Valley Yamaha, Dragster Energy, and we're out here at the test track.
So clips there from the Baja 1000 off-road race from Monster Energy's YouTube channel. You will have heard clips there of two Red Bull wingsuit flyers jumping into a moving plane over the Swiss Alps. Wagner holding a Facebook Live Christmas karaoke for Boost drinks. A Rockstar Energy interview with Supercross rider Nico Itzi, all to the tune of Avalon from the Relentless brand ambassador Professor Green, as used in that firm's TV and cinema ads. Now, Robin Ireland founded the health campaign group Food Active, and he compares that kind of marketing to the way big tobacco firms used to glamorise cigarettes.
It is strongly reminiscent of the sort of arguments that we had in public health with the tobacco industry 20, 30 years ago, that whereas they deny their marketing was ever aimed at young people, they always used to deny that they were trying to recruit young people to their product. But yes, it blatantly obvious that's what they were doing. And it is very, very reminiscent of that, because obviously if you start getting young people into consuming, buying energy products at the age of 11, 12, 13, 14, that's a big market for quite a long time. I have to say, particularly with young men who are seen, as they do get a little bit older, as having more disposable income before they've settled down and had families, they're very, very aware of this, aren't they, the energy drink consumer manufacturers. And they've done a great job, unfortunately, of persuading our young people that these are products they really need to have.
Is a comparison with the tobacco industry, given all of its health issues, really appropriate?
It might seem hard, but I think it was the denialism of the tobacco industry and the lack of responsibility that's very obvious. So I'm not claiming that energy drinks are as bad for you as smoking, but the tactics are incredibly familiar. It's the denial. It's the, well, we're not promoting our products to young people. Oh, well, it's not no worse than a cup of coffee. I mean, really, this is apology stuff when we know we've got problems with the health of our young people. I only need to start talking about the number of young people who are overweight to realise that we've got a problem. And it's growing. It's not going away.
That's Robin Ireland from Food Active. Let's speak now to Dr. Shalini Vohra from Sheffield Hallam University. Shalini is an expert in the psychology of marketing and has previously worked in the soft drinks industry. And Peter Andrews, a lecturer in marketing at the University of Hull. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Adrian. How are you?
We heard those clips, didn't we, from the various online ads. How significant are they in terms of targeting young people?
Well, I think that they are very significant, but when you have a look at what these energy drink companies are doing, they've got a core target audience of consumers who are probably 16 to mid-20s or early 30s, and they are trying to target that group, and I think they're doing that incredibly well. We've heard about, you know, the extreme sports, using ambassadors, YouTube vloggers, linking to music events and other things like that. And that's very much that core territory of 16 to say mid-20 year olds. But what you've got here is that it's very hard to target that group without some kind of overspill. So these events, these marketing tactics that they're using are being seen by other age groups. And to be absolutely honest, it's going to be nigh on impossible for them to actually kind of put a brick wall up to say, excuse me, please don't watch these sports, please don't look at these channels.
Yeah, so if the energy company manufacturers say, you know, with in good faith, honestly, we're only targeting 16 and upwards,
yeah,
and that's our core market, say 16 to 25-year-olds, if you're doing that marketing online, it is impossible effectively to stop under 16s viewing that content and in some way being attracted by it.
It is. And you look at it, we've heard about this, they're cool brand, they're hard, they're tough, strong images, they're associated with high impact, extreme endurance sport. And the energy drinks company have done that job incredibly well. You know, from a marketing point of view, they've done a really good job at linking these products to these sports. And it's really, they're bought on a lifestyle or image and positioning. And we know that all of those types of sports, all those types of activities and music as well, are going to be consumed by a variety of age groups.
Mm. If you're the drinks companies, you might say, well, look, you know, we are targeting 16 and upwards.
Yeah.
If younger people are viewing these, that's not down to us. That's down to lax controls on the internet.
Well, it's hard to say about lax controls, I suppose. You know, the students and younger children will consume various types of media, and they will also listen to music and watch sports as well. And you look, actually, there's been quite a big shift in the marketing of these. So it's not the traditional advertising, because advertising, particularly on TV, it's quite easy to say, right, we won't target anything that is specifically for people under 16 years of age. And they've moved far more into content marketing. You know, that means creating television programs, creating music events and online videos, and also this idea of sponsorship and ambassadors, so people talking about their brands for them. Mm. And so actually controlling who sees that is very, very difficult indeed.
Yeah. So let me bring Shalini in at this point. Shalini, you've looked at how the drinks are sold in stores as well. What are your concerns about that?
Good morning, Adrian. I think one of the biggest concerns is the placement of the product in the stores. So as soon as you walk in, these products are very prominently placed in terms of their location. They're also strategically placed next to fruit and veg and fresh fruits. So at a subconscious level, the consumer mindset is already, I'm doing something healthy, I'm buying something healthy. They're often a part of meal deals, so they're making them even more affordable. So the placement of the products in the store is certainly an issue which is making it easier for young people to see them and get access to them at a low price.
Yeah, and Peter's making the point that it's almost impossible, or is impossible, to draw a line between who's watching your online video content. Under 16s are bound to be able to get access to, an exciting extreme sports video, even if it's meant to be for an over 16s audience, if it's on YouTube. Even more difficult, surely, in shops, because you don't have an over 16s or under 16s section.
There are aisles in the shops. Retail stores are very strategically designed in the way the products are placed. So there are aisles which are frequented by teenagers, children and young people, and there are ones that are not. So if you have these products placed at points of sale, impulsive purchases are likely to happen if they're in prominent locations. Whereas if young people have to look for them harder, it's harder for them to have access to it. Also, voluntary...
Sorry to interrupt there, Shalini. So suggesting what, maybe that the energy drink should be placed alongside the alcohol, where over 18s only would be expected to go?
I think that's one of the strategies that's possible. Yeah. It's also possible for retailers on a voluntary basis to restrict the number of energy drinks sold to under 16s per transaction or per day. And there are various measures that can be done in terms of discouraging multi-packs, not including these products as a part of meal deals. Because surely by doing that, you're encouraging the volume of sales, the volume of intake of these energy drinks as well.
Shalini, thank you for now. Thanks also to Peter Andrews. Let's bring in Norman Lamb, MP, Chair of the House of Commons Science and Technology Select Committee. Norman, morning.
Morning, Adrian.
Yeah, what do you make of what you heard so far?
Well, there's clearly a concern here. And I mean, a single can contains around 160 milligrams of caffeine. Now, the European Food Standards Agency recommends an intake of no more than 105 milligrams. So it's well above the recommended level. That's for an 11-year-old. But we know that if these products are being marketed and advertised, particularly online, to an audience that is bound to include, as you've indicated yourself, bound to include under 16s, then I think we have to take this seriously. From my point of view on the Science and Technology Committee, it all has to be driven by the evidence. There is evidence, as I understand it, that links these products to headaches, to palpitations, to insomnia. And if this is, of course, at a time when there is rapid growth and brain development in adolescence. So I think this is something we have to take very seriously.
Yeah, I think the statistics we've seen that 7 out of 10 to 18-year-olds are drinking these at least once a week, and that takes them above the level for caffeine that is regarded safe by the Food Standards Agency, by the UK government's UK Food Standards Agency. So what will your committee be looking at? What do you want to explore?
Well, look, it's not my decision ultimately. I can put forward a recommendation, but I think there is a very strong case for us looking at this, looking at all of the scientific evidence of health risk. And of course, at the committee, we can call evidence from whoever we want. And at the end of it, we can make recommendations to government. And so one of the outcomes of this could be that we reach a view about the inappropriateness of sales to people under the age, for instance, of 16. I don't want to preempt any inquiry that we might carry out, but I think it's something that there's a very strong case for us looking at.
Yeah, and I guess over the years, people have looked at the sugar content of drinks in general, soft drinks, if you like. But I suppose this area of caffeine in particular, which is the, if you like, the USP of an energy drink, this is the area which I suggest might bear the greatest focus.
No, absolutely. I mean, there is an issue about sugar, clearly, and the government is addressing that through this sugar tax on fizzy drinks, which will include energy drinks. But it's this caffeine element to it. And sales of energy drinks are increasing significantly in the UK. I think it's up 185% over the last 10 or so years. Mm. So and a proportion of that increase in sale will be amongst teenagers. And if there is a harm being caused, you know, just think about the impact of potential insomnia as the brain develops at a crucial stage of development, then I think it's something we need to take seriously.
Norman, thanks very much indeed. Norman Lamb, lots and lots of your comments coming in. One listener saying the first thing that should be done is to not allow these companies to attach the word energy to their products, as all the sugar-free drinks contain negligible calories, i.e. energy. Far better to bracket them all as stimulation drinks and only place them in stores alongside alcoholic drinks. That's from Simon in Nottingham. Chris in the northwest of England says no parent in their right mind would let their children drink these, ban them. And another listener saying energy drinks should not be sold along with things like alcohol in soup. Energy drinks should be sold along with things like alcohol in supermarkets, not in the pop and squash aisles. The government needs to legislate for this, and all buyers should have 16 plus ID. And one more for now. This is from Helen saying, I saw a woman with what looked like a 3-year-old. The child was drinking an energy drink at 8:15 in the morning, walking down the street. We did ask the Department for Health for a comment. We've got instead one from the UK Food Standards Agency. They say they review their guidelines whenever there is a significant research update, and their last guidance issued in 2015 was based on research by the European Food Standards Agency. And the British Soft Drinks Association, manufacturers representing some of the major brands, told us that there is a code of conduct which their members have signed up to, in which they commit to not targeting under 16s with energy drinks, and they say that regulators around the world have deemed the context of energy drinks to be safe. It's 5 to 12.
First for news and the best live sport. This is BBC Five Live. Five Live investigates.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we highlighted the problems faced by patients with a series of complex and often severe brain conditions, ranging from migraine to Parkinson's disease to dementia. A shortage of neurologists means some patients are having to wait up to a year for appointments. In some cases, they're having to travel hundreds of miles after that to get the help they desperately need. We heard from 17-year-old Katie Lay from Grays in Essex. Katie has had epilepsy since she was 2, but recently her illness has taken a turn for the worse. She has had 124 seizures since April. Now, Katie was referred to a neurologist in August, but was told the earliest she could see one would be in February next year. Katie told me her epilepsy means she now can't go to school, and it's robbed her of the confidence to go out.
I miss my friends. I like to go out. And I would like to go out with a boyfriend that I've got, and I can't really do that. But hopefully I'll be able to see him, and hopefully the doctors will be able to sort it out for me and I'll have a better life.
When you have a seizure, can you describe to us, because I've never had a seizure, what it's actually like?
Well, really, it's kind of sad, and it really mucks your life up.
And what is the effect of this increase in seizures been on your life over the last few months?
Well, they've made me ache, they've made me miserable, and they've made me sad, really.
And in terms of going to school, to sixth form?
Well, I love sixth form, I love to learn, but it stopped me from doing that as well. I haven't been there for a long while.
And your mum and dad say you're not really able to go outside even?
No, but I would love to go and get some fresh air and be a free spirit and live my life.
And when you know that from August, when you went to the doctors, you were told you'd have to wait to February before you saw a neurologist, how did that feel?
Well, really, that made me kind of angry because I can't really wait that long.
What do you think a neurologist might be able to do for you?
Maybe sort my medication out and hopefully I'll be able to go back to sixth form and do what I love doing.
There you go. That's Kylie. Let's speak to, Katie, and her mum Kylie is on the phone now. We've got a bit of good news. Good morning to you, Kylie. You all right?
Hiya, good morning. Yes, we have good news.
Go on.
Yes.
So you were fearing a wait until February to see a neurologist despite these incredibly increased frequency of seizures. What's the latest?
Yes, that's right. We saw a neurologist on Wednesday, which is Dr. Maniar, and he's a neurologist in specialised in epilepsy, and he's dealing with Katie at the moment, so that was the one we was meant to be seeing in February.
Oh, brilliant. So it was just brought forward?
Yes, he did, yes. That was Wednesday. So what he's going to do, he's going to run a number of tests for Katie and just take it from there, and everything's got moving forward now. We're getting the help that she deserves now, so, yeah.
Brilliant. So any reason why it was brought forward?
I think it was because of the BBC News and you guys just helping us and getting Katie's voice out there, because there's loads, as you said, there's loads of little Katie's out there that need to be heard, need to be helped and stuff. So, yeah, it was you guys, like, broadcasting and helping us, really. So we just want to thank you.
Glad to be of use. Nice to hear from you. Thank you, and good luck as well to Katie. Thank you. There's Kylie from Grays in Essex. And don't forget, if there's something you want us to investigate on your behalf, just drop us an email. Our inbox is open 24/7. You can email goldberg@bbc.co.uk.
This is BBC Five Live, available on the BBC iPlayer radio app. Five Live Investigates.
Thanks for listening to Five Live Investigates. And don't forget, if there's something you want us to investigate, you can email goldberg@bbc.co.uk. See you next time.
BBC Five Live.